If you would turn to Luke, the 18th chapter, this is The Highway to Hell, part 3. And so far we've covered two lanes. We've covered two lanes. One was suicide, and what was the other one? Not dealing with our sins. The unwillingness to deal with our sins keeps us on the highway to hell. And we saw that suicide is really how Satan takes all hope from a person and leaves them in despair, that they take their own lives, and really not with the willingness of dealing with our sin, really comes to a point of the mentality of Christians today is, how close can I play with sin and still go to heaven? And the issue is, you can't. Even thinking about playing in sin is going to keep you on the highway to hell. And today, Luke 18. And today we're going to deal with the third, and I think probably one of the most destructive lanes that a Christian or those who are caught in the world is pride. Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. Jesus is speaking, and it starts off and says, "And he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, and one was a Pharisee, and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess.' And the tax collector, standing far off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be abased, and everyone who humbles himself will be exalted.'" Jesus is trying to get us to see that there are two types of people in the world, amongst others, but basically in this issue of pride or self-righteousness, he gives us a key that pride focuses on ourselves. It focuses on a way that we talk about our good deeds. But the problem with pride is it deceives us. It keeps us blinded to our faults. And what it does is it causes us to compare ourselves one to another. It always brings itself, making itself better than somebody else. It always causes us to prance around and boast about how great we are, when the reality of it is pride is robbing God of His glory. Pride is always a comparison between man to man, never man to God. And when we make a comparison of ourselves to God, we truly would have a heart like the tax collector who humbled himself and knew that he was a sinner and wouldn't even cry out to God but just for mercy. You see, pride is so deadly, and two of the greatest examples that we have about pride is found in Isaiah 14 with the I wills of Satan. He said, "I will be like the Most High, I will have a kingdom this and that," you know, failing to realize that he himself is a created being trying to kick God off his throne. The other one is Pontius Pilate. When Pilate, for the second time, interviewed Jesus, and Jesus wouldn't answer him, and Pilate said to him, "Don't you see what they're saying? Don't you understand what's going on? Don't you understand who it is that I am, that I have the power to set you free, or I have the power to kill you?" And Jesus told him flat out, "You don't have any power unless it comes from heaven." I call pride the great opera singer. Me, 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 I. And pride, in its most harmful state, is a spirit of elitism. Spirit of elitism. I'm better than you are. I'm putting you down so I can step up. It fosters egotism. Some people have such a large ego that they fail to understand how poisonous that personality is. There's nothing they can't do. There's nothing they haven't done. They know everything. But pride will not allow them to see their own faults. Because after all, I'm in love with myself so much that there's nothing wrong with me. It's everybody else. Pride causes us to be argumentative. Pride causes us to blame shift or deflect. Pride is so deadly that if we really wanted to be honest with ourselves, we are a arrogant, stiff-necked people filled with pride. And that's the truth. Let me read a definition of what pride is. Pride is the exaggerated opinion of one's dignity or importance and is manifested through egotism, vanity, conceit, or justification in being superior to others. It is the arrogant elitism and it is unteachable. Pride always blinds us to thinking that we're okay. Pride blinds us to our sin. The Holy Spirit is busy trying to get us to recognize His voice and convict our hearts of sin. Pride says there is no sin. You're fine. And if we were true to ourselves, we would always admit to God, yeah, you're right. I have this problem going on, whether it's pride or cussing or some other behavior that is not warranted in the kingdom. Gossiping is a sin. Not only just the physical sins of fornication fornication or any of the other sins that go on. Pride blinds us because we don't look at ourselves the way God looks at us. And when the Holy Spirit is trying to bring correction into our lives, pride says we're so okay that we don't even deal with the sin. That's not me. I don't have that problem. I don't gossip about people. I'm not having sex before marriage. I didn't abort a child. I'm not promiscuous in my lifestyle. It doesn't allow that. I pray to God. I give tithes. I help old ladies across the street. I mean, the issue of pride is so much, it is blinding. Pride allows us to find fault with everybody else. It points out those faults by deflecting what needs to go on. And because we're unrepentant and we're not humble, we're not teachable. And I don't know about you, but I don't like being around people like that. I don't like people who are pointing their finger at me. I know I have problems. That's why I seek God. That's why I look for grace and I look for His mercy in my life. That's why I'm not pointing fingers at anybody else. I got three more pointing back at me. So I got three times as much work to do than you. But pride doesn't allow us that luxury. Pride is deception beyond belief. Think about it. Satan was deceived that he thought, him being a created being, thought that he could overthrow God. That's being full of yourself. And if you read Isaiah 14, you will see the I wills, and you will see what Satan has said. And you look at other people, other men and women through the scriptures who exemplify this pride and egotism. And what was their end? Saul was another one, filled with pride. I'm chosen by God. I can do whatever I want. I'm the king. I can be disobedient to God because After all, you know, I could take somebody else's anointing and do whatever I want to do. Because pride doesn't allow us to see our faults. We believe our own accommodations. And it's a falsehood. And I don't know about you, but that definition points out that 99.9% of us are in that definition. If you really want to be honest with yourself, you're there, I'm there. The only reason why I'm able to say that is because God has humbled me enough times to realize I have so much work to do that I should be busy about working on what God has told me to do and help those that I'm able to help than to just say, I'm fine, and not do anything. Because we injure the work of God in such a way that people who look at our lives being pretentious and make-believers, living a lifestyle that is contrary to that of the kingdom, and people outside, people who are on the road, highway to hell, see this. And they say, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be one. Where the Christian doesn't realize they're still on a highway to hell because they're not dealing with the issue. They're not repentant of the issue because I'm fine. And then when you talk to people about their sin issue, oh, no, that's not me. No. You know, I didn't do that. I didn't say that. Because that's the way the world operates. Think about it, guys. You're still in school. How much gossip and drama is going on about everybody talking about everybody? There's a lot, right? Right, Rach? Yeah, there's a lot of drama. But the truth of it is it's filled with pride and arrogance. There's something wrong with that person. Let's talk about them. See what's wrong with them? And then when you're up there in your face, oh, aren't you just a wonderful person? Oh, we just love that ideal. And then they go behind your back and they continue to talk about you. It's pride. It's arrogance. The tax collector knew his condition before God. As a Christian, we should know our condition before God, and we should be humble before Him. And when God breaks out on us and He says to us, you know what? You need to deal with this. I've empowered you to deal with this. And the first thing we say, I can't. I won't. That's not me. We make God a liar. John says that, you know, when the Holy Spirit convicts us and says that there's sin, and we say we don't have it, we're telling God He's a liar. God knows us better than we know ourselves. And He knows that you have an anointing. And that anointing is not only to set your life free, it is to take those who are on the highway of hell off that highway. Well, when I get this right in my life, then I'll go talk to somebody. We're not perfect. We didn't come to God perfect. We're forgiven. And when we appropriate His grace and His mercy to our lives, that enables us to go and share with somebody the love of God, the kingdom of God. And as we're walking together with the Holy Spirit and our lives are changing because we're so focused on getting people right relationship with God, we don't realize that God is changing us because every time He points out our sin, we're nailing it to the cross. We're dying to it. And God wants us to die. He says, take up your cross and die daily. But pride won't let you do that. Pride wants you to be resurrected all the time. The Pharisee was so busy telling God all the good things that he did that he didn't even realize how wicked his heart was and how deluded he was to his own condition. And we as a people need to realize that it doesn't matter what we do, it matters who we are. Who are you? Who are you? Do you know who you are in Jesus Christ? And that's the matter. I am the righteousness of Christ. I am a son of the Most High God. I have an anointing that shall not fail. My Father is for me. He has supplied everything for me. And thereby I am equipped to do whatever it is that He wants. As I'm allowing Him to clean my life up. It's not like we take time off and we do this. We're doing this as we're going along. And pride says, you don't have to. Proverbs 6:16 says, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, even seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift to running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. Is that any of us? Is that all of us? I dare say it's the latter. We don't look at the conditions of our heart. We don't see how wicked we are. We see the wickedness in everybody else but ourselves. Proverbs 6:12-15 describes just how wicked the human heart is. Well, Pastor, I don't believe that's true of me. You're deceived. You're deceived. Jeremiah 17 says, who can know the heart? It is desperately wicked. God knows it. And He's trying to get your attention to showing that, you know what, your behaviors, your thought patterns, the way you conduct your life is always contrary to the kingdom. And it causes a radical change in the way you think. God has a power that He has placed in you. And that is His very Spirit to transform you from the inside out. We're so busy with the world that we don't realize how infected we are. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then there comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. Pride doesn't allow us to be ashamed. And that's one of the biggest things that's a problem in the church today. People are not ashamed of their sinful condition. It reminds me of a song where the Doobie Brothers said, I'm all right with Jesus, I'm all right with Jesus. But the fact of the matter is we're not right with Jesus. Just look at your lives. Are you the same as you were a year ago? Or are you worse? Have you heard the Word of God and have steadily digressed? Or have you heard the Word and implemented it into your life and have changed? I can't speak for you. You can only speak for yourself. But if we are the same as what we were before, then I would say you're still on the highway to hell. And you're not going to win anybody because your life is nothing but a bunch of hypocrisy. Well, you just don't understand, Pastor, I just don't want to talk to people. If you're saved, you cannot but talk to people about Jesus. If you've been born again of His Spirit and have been baptized in His Spirit, you cannot but talk about Jesus. Talk about His kingdom. Talk about what He's doing in your life. The reason why you don't have it is because your life is not where it needs to be, because your pride is deceiving you that you're okay. Well, that's just your opinion. No, that's what the Bible tells me. I'm giving you the Word of God. You have no shame about your sin. And the Church of Jesus Christ is suffering. People are going to hell in a handbasket because your life is lining up with what they're accustomed to, not what they're dying to see. We deflect, we argue, but we will not admit our sin or repent of it. We will not deal with it. Only those who have a humble and contrite heart will go to God in total humility and receive wisdom. You've heard me say, I didn't get this smart because God just opened up my head and poured it in. I got this smart because I made a lot of mistakes. But the one thing I did learn from my whole life was when something was pointed out into my life, I repented. I asked for forgiveness, and I went right to the Lord to ask Him to give me grace and mercy to get it out of my life. I was nailing it to the cross. That doesn't mean I'm going to be successful all the time. It just means I'm dealing with it. I'm not going to let my pride deceive me in my condition. I want to go to heaven. Jesus said something. He says, count yourself worthy of the kingdom. That means take a look at your life and see if it's matching up to what He accounts for us to be there. This isn't a salvation of I name it and claim Jesus and I can live like myself. It is not that, church. And you're deceiving yourself. Well, I'll just leave this church and go to someplace else. Your problems are not going to be here. When you leave, they're going with you. That's the truth. Well, I'm just escaping from all the drama. You are the drama. And the drama of the world, we need to penetrate it with the light of the gospel. And how are we going to penetrate it if we're living just like them? They don't want what you got. Because what they got, they're already infected with. Proverbs 13:10 says, by pride comes only destruction or contention. But with the well advised is wisdom. Have you ever met anybody that's argumentative? Man, you really should start doing that. No, that's not me. Listen, I'm trying to help you. I don't need your help. That's not... You know what? There's nothing wrong with me. It's all you. Okay. Okay. Read what the scriptures talk about a contentious person. A contentious person is strifeful. Has so much strife in their lives that there's no peace. Why is there no peace? Because they're not dealing with their pride issues. Their sin. And the world is filled with it. And the Church of Jesus Christ needs to be filled with humble people that have wisdom to help one another to be delivered from that sin issue and to help those that are on the highway to hell to come off of it. Boy, I'll just not pay attention to what Pastor's saying. That's fine. You can. It's a free country. But your salvation and my salvation is predicated in dealing with our pride. If a fallen angel was tossed out of heaven, where do you think you're going to be? That fallen angel is going to be cast into the lake of fire. Where do you think you're going to be? Are you going to let your pride separate you from being a powerful spiritual being? Separated from God forever and ever? Only you can choose that. I choose to deal with my sin issues so I can help people. And you heard me testify about talking with Brian and Casey, tearing down every one of their arguments, tearing it down. Well, that's you, Pastor. You're just so spiritual. I'm not spiritual. I'm dealing with my sin. I'm listening to the Holy Spirit talk to these people who need Jesus Christ. You're the answer. You're going to have more contact with people out there than I am. Because once people find out I'm the pastor, guess what? They clam up. And that's the truth. That's why I have to train you to do the works in the ministry. And if you don't want to work, that's fine. God will deal with you. And we know about the stripes and stuff, how He punishes His people. If you are His people. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoils with the proud. If you want what you want, God is going to let you have it. Who knows the story about manna and the quail? Share it, Dan. What did God do? And God will do the same thing. If you want to stay in your sin and you let pride deceive you, God will allow you, even allowing it to destroy you, because that's your freedom and that's your right. He is not going to violate your will. But He loves us so much that when you come to your ruin, as He did in mine, I rolled my car down an embankment, crushing my car. And I realized that only the hand of God saved my family, because it was compacted, because I rolled it. I should have been killed, and my family should have been killed. But God, in His great mercy for me and for my family, revealed Himself in that simple act of how much He loved me. And because of it, I gave my life to Him. And I have never regretted it. Except the times when pride deceived me. Hear me. When pride deceived me. My pride deceived me of my sin. Because I didn't have the wisdom or the understanding. That's how I became so smart. Was I realized to humble myself before God. I don't argue with people. I did that. Fine. I did that. I am so regretful of that, so filled with remorse. That is not my heart to bring an offense to a person. I had an individual come to me a couple months ago, and he said, Pastor, you know, you did this. And I was so rent in heart. I teared up, and I asked for forgiveness. I repented right then and there. See, what I'm preaching, I'm living. I'm living it because I believe in it. In what God. I don't want any stain on the garment of righteousness to separate me from my God and King. I want to go to the wedding feast. I want to be there. I don't want to be on the outside looking in, and then all of a sudden God says, away from me to everlasting damnation. That's just your opinion. Read the Bible. It's not my opinion. It's what God says. If you don't want to stay on that highway, then you need to listen to the Holy Spirit. God wants to work in you first. He wants you to kill the pride. There's things going on in your life, and you're trying to figure out, why is this always going in the toilet? Well, do you think that your pride has deceived you, that you're okay? Think about it. If I'm continually doing the same thing over and over, but I'm expecting a different result, that makes me an idiot. But I'm not an idiot, because I've dealt with my pride. I'm not so prideful that I can't learn from somebody else, whether it's a child or an adult. Because I see God in it all, and I want to learn. I want to be the best I possibly can for Him. Not for you and not for me, but for Him. That's the reason. Satan doesn't want you to live for God. He wants you to live for yourself, because your end is your destruction. And believe me, the Scripture says, God will allow you to have it if you want it. Not dealing with your sin keeps you on the highway. And eventually it'll bring you to your ruin. Church, I want to exhort you. There are souls out there. There are people out there that are looking at you. And they're waiting to see something different about you. But if you're acting just like they are, then you have nothing to offer them. You have ruined the reputation that God is trying to create in you. Pride is making you fearful. Pride will allow you to maintain your pains and your hurts just so that you can continue to self-destruct. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. He has given us His Holy Spirit to empower us, and He has given us grace to appropriate the victory that He won on the cross. And He has baptized us in His Spirit to give us the power on high to communicate effectively, not just in word, but also in deed, to win people to the kingdom of God before it's too late. That is your call. That is your destiny. That's what you were created for. You were not created to live something less than what you're living now. You believed the lie for so long that your pride won't allow you to face the truth. But if you're willing, take the challenge. Ask the Holy Spirit to break the pride that's in you and show you the sin and deal with it. And watch your life start changing, turning around more and more. Because after all, it's to His glory. Amen? One more scripture. Proverbs 3:34 says, "Surely He scorns the proud, but He gives grace to the humble." We can only receive grace when we humble ourselves. And we can only receive mercy when we acknowledge how sinful we are. Are we going to be like the Pharisee and just tell everybody how great and wonderful we are, knowing that our heart is filled with pain and destruction? Or are we going to be like the tax collector, who in those days was looked at as the scourge of the earth because they worked in unison with the Roman government, which the Jews hated? And they collected more money from the people so that they have a subsistence. And this tax collector knew within his own heart that that was not right. And he would not even look up to God. He would just beat on his breast, saying, "God, I'm a sinner. Be merciful to me. God, I'm a sinner. Be merciful to me." I challenge you. I challenge you. Stand before God and allow Him to break your pride and deal with the sin issues. Because those out there need what you have, whether you believe it or not. Amen? Father, I just thank You for Your word, Lord God. I pray that You have shattered by Your Spirit the delusion of our pride. God, sin is pleasurable, but it will separate us from You forever and ever unless we deal with it and nail it to the cross. Holy Spirit, I ask that You continue to reveal the sin issues in my life so I may get them clean and washed under the blood. I pray for Your people today, Lord God, that we meet not so self-deceived that we will not admit when the Holy Spirit is bringing conviction to us of those areas, whether it's a behavioral, an attitude, or even just the way we think about things, God. Father, I ask that you forgive us, God, of our pride. All of us are in this boat together, Lord. There's not one of us that can escape. But each one of us has a choice that we can either deal with it or not. Father, I ask that you give them the courage to take the blinders off and begin to deal with the issues, because it's a matter of life and death. A matter of life and death. And you beckon us to choose life. So, Father, do your work. Lead us into all prosperity, Lord, that as our soul prospers, so will our lives. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.